FIS Insider, a premium edition of the Financial Sense News Hour. Today's host is Senior Editor Chris Sheridan.
Base metals like copper and iron have made a near vertical launch this year to 7-year highs. And some believe, like our next guest, that this is not only the beginning of a new commodity cycle, but may even be stronger than the last one that we saw in the early 2000s. To share his view on the commodity sector with us today is Richard Mills. He's the writer of the Ahead of the Herd newsletter, which you can find at aheadoftheherd.com. So, Rick, let's start off on how commodities have performed this year in 2020 and whether or not this is the beginning of a new cycle.
Well, commodities have performed very well, as you just mentioned, copper, iron ore, but add in zinc and nickel and a whole host of other raw materials have seen a huge price increase. And there is a lot of talk about, are we entering another commodities bull market? A super cycle, as many, including myself, were calling it back in 2003. And at Ahead of the Herd, we believe we are. We think we're on the cusp of a real global, all-encompassing commodities bull market that is going to make the 2003 super cycle pale in comparison.
So why is that? Why would this one be bigger than the last one?
We can start with the basic building block of the 2003 was that it was China-centric. China had been basically growing at 9%+ for many years, and people woke up to the fact that this was a major demand on commodities, not only the metals and the food and the energy. I mean, it was pretty much across the board. There was mass migration to the cities. China was building infrastructure. They were putting together high-speed rail. They were building their One Belt, One Road to bring in the necessary materials, hoping it would be a not just a one-way street, but a two-way street with manufacturing. You know, the raw materials coming in, the manufactured goods heading out. And to a large extent, that's what happened. And the rest of the world didn't really participate in it to the manufacturing extent. It was pretty much China-centric. Well, that's not the way this one's going to work out. We don't see that happening here at Ahead of the Herd at all. This is going to be global. It's going to be all-encompassing. And it is really going to encompass all commodities from energy to food to the metals.
Interesting. That was going to be my next question because, you know, gold and energy were major winners in the last commodity cycle. Of course, there were a lot of industrial commodities that participated. As you said, a lot of this was centered on China and the massive growth rates, double-digit growth rates that they saw from the early 2000s up until around 2011. But this time around, you also believe that this is going to be a broad-based super cycle in the commodity sectors. Any commodities in particular that you're looking at that you think will be strong performers in this cycle?
Well, there are. I think all of them are going to perform very well, but obviously there's going to be a couple that are standouts, head and shoulders above the rest. Let's take a look at how we identify these sectors that are going to outperform. And at Ahead of the Herd, we do top-down, bottom-up investing. And what we're always looking for are global overriding themes that last for decades. And you saw that in 2003. Obviously, you saw it again with President Obama and Vice President Biden's electrification of the transportation system when you're looking at lithium and batteries and the rise of Tesla. And so you try and identify these global overriding themes. Well, currently today, there are four of these major, major themes. You've got a major infrastructure push. Now, this involves several types of infrastructure. You've got a blacktop, which is your basic infrastructure, your roads, your bridges, your dams, your water systems. Your basic infrastructure that we all rely on every day is antiquated. It has been poorly maintained. Globally, you need to spend trillions of dollars just to catch up, let alone add the modern infrastructure that we need such as smart grid transmission lines, you need to install 5G, and you need high-speed rail. Now, these are all commodity-intensive, and they're definitely going to see money. There's global plans to spend trillions of dollars on these. The second major global theme we see is the electrification of the global transportation system. And this is, as you mentioned earlier, the move to batteries. We want to step away from burning fossil fuels in our transportation system and move to battery EV, lithium-ion batteries, and the metals that they contain. And that's where we want our electrification. And this is global. I mean, China's the leader. You've got Volkswagen and Mercedes-Benz and GM and Ford. You got Europeans coming into it. You got the Americans are starting. This is definitely a global theme that's going to continue. The third one you've got going, and these three are all going to be running at the same time, which is why we believe we're going to have this commodity Super Bowl market. You've got a reduction of our carbon footprint. We want to get away from our carbon burning coal, oil, and natural gas. BP put out a report on it that's an interesting read. We've got articles coming out on this today, and we've had them recently as the other day. So we're talking about the electrification of the transportation system, the move to batteries. But there's got to be a way to fill those batteries with energy. Remember, batteries are energy storage devices. You have to create that energy to put it in, and we want to move away from the carbon, from the fossil fuel produced energy, to clean, green renewables, solar, wind, etc. And that is a massive, massive use of commodities to build these wind and solar farms and to put in the transmission lines, the smart grids that are needed to do it. The next one that we're going to have to really put some money on, and we're seeing this across the world, Tunisia is, you know, the Arab Spring, the people, the inequality, the food insecurity. We have to get the food, and we have to give people food. So you've got four global overriding themes. You've got infrastructure. You've got electrification of the transportation system. You've got a reduction in our carbon footprint, the move to renewable energy, and you've got the food chain, the supply chain. Food has to be an important mix into this commodities as well. So that's why I say it's going to cover all of the aspects of the commodity market. And where we are right now is we're just coming out of the COVID. China's been coming out of the COVID quite well. Their manufacturing is rising at an unbelievable pace. White good orders are off the charts. Global manufacturing PMIs are climbing steadily. China's coming back. The rest of the world is going to come back too. And we're all going to be focused on these four major overriding themes to put people back to work. And this is why we're going to have a commodities bull market the likes we've never seen, Chris.
Interesting. So again, like you said, last commodity cycle started in the early 2000s. That was mostly centered on the rapid growth of China. This time, you're looking at a global cycle where we see demand across the board for nearly every type of commodity based on infrastructure, electrification, reduction of carbon, and then also the fact that we just continue to see increase in food demand every year. And so it sounds like you're looking at, gosh, let's say energy, base metals, agricultural commodities. So it's really across the board. Any in particular that you're focused on? Like we mentioned at the very beginning, you know, copper and iron ore near 7-year highs, those have done particularly well so far. Any standouts that you're looking at or focusing on?
Well, I love copper. I mean, there's lots of gold bugs out there. I love gold too, but I'm a copper bug. I absolutely have crunched the numbers for over a decade on copper. We were facing a structural supply deficit before COVID. When we look at where we're going with the infrastructure, the electrification of the transportation system, your move to renewables, everybody's looking at the critical metals they're focusing on. you know, lithium, graphite. They're focusing on the battery metals, the clean energy metals. But let's step back a minute here and actually think about how important copper is to all this. The bottom line is, without copper, none of this is going to happen. None of it. You have to have your copper for the windings of all these electric motors. You have to have your copper and the wirings to hook all this stuff up, your transmission lines, your 5G, your high-speed rail. You want to switch to clean energy? You want to go to renewables? Copper. You have to have copper. You want to put batteries in electric vehicles? Well, you need copper to build that motor. You need copper for the charging stations. The copper market is already in a deficit. We've got 200 mines running out over the next few years. All our new supply for the foreseeable future is coming in from mines that haven't been commissioned yet. And we produce 20 million tons of copper a year. We need another 20 million tons of mined copper over the next 20 years. We've got to ramp up to 40 million tons in the next 20 years. We're not going to do it. That copper's not there unless we get out there and we find a lot of new mined copper. We need massive investments in copper. It takes way too long to develop new mines. I mean, the average time to permit a mine can be up to 20 years in Canada. So where are we going to get all this copper from? Well, it's not going to come on stream anytime soon. And we are facing a massive copper supply deficit. So my metal that I really like is, you know, the other industrial metals is copper. By far and above, it has the supply crunch followed by zinc. And basically, I'm looking at copper and zinc.
Well, in that case, so at our own company, what we've been doing is we've been slowly reducing our fixed income portion with clients, reducing our bond side of the portfolios, and increasingly allocating more towards commodities. And that's something that we're going to be continuing to do as you say, you know, this commodity cycle, the super cycle plays out. We have been focused on copper and a number of other industrial commodities. How are you playing this trend? What is it that you're doing? Are you investing in individual mining stocks? Are you investing in some of the broader based ETFs? What are you doing?
Well, I play the junior resource stock. I don't buy ETFs. I stay away from most things I don't understand. And I understand mining. I understand supply demand. And I want to own shares in a company that have an asset in the ground. So I'm picking up shares of Max Resources. Trades on the TSX Venture under the symbol MXR. They have a huge stratabound copper plus silver deposit in Colombia. And the thing that I look for is size. I want grade, of course, but what I also want is size. I want the project to be scalable up to the point where a major would be interested in buying it. And I think Max's project, the Caesar Stratabound copper plus silver, fully meets all my guidelines for that kind of deposit. And on the other side of the coin, I'm very much in favor of owning gold and silver right now in my portfolio. I think precious metals are going to do very well in the upcoming inflationary environment. We're going to be printing and borrowing an awful lot of money. We're going to see the debt to GDP ratio soar, which is always good for gold. We're going to see a low dollar. We're going to have to keep the interest rates low. I think real inflation rates are going to soar. And I think it's going to be a very good environment for people to own gold and silver as well. So I think that Max's Caesar Copper Plus Silver project meets all of my criteria of what I want in a junior resource company's asset.
So as you said, you know, you're focused more on the junior resource sector, in which case there's a little bit more risk associated with junior mines. I would take it that investors want to look at these as long-term investments in that case.
Well, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an analyst. I'm not a broker. I don't give financial advice. I just tell people what I do. And what I buy and sell, I don't make any recommendations or put price targets on anything. I've explained my thinking behind why I think we're in a commodities bull market. I've explained why I think copper is going to be one of the must-own metals, and I've explained what I look for in a junior resource company. And having said all that, juniors are risky. It's the riskiest segment of the market, and there's people that should not be investing in it. And I would fully urge people to talk to a licensed broker or an investment advisor, and I believe such as you guys, and get some good solid advice on what to do. I just tell people what I do, Chris. That's it.
Well, Rick, you have a large number of articles, research that you provide on your website. If you wouldn't mind, tell our listeners a little bit more about Ahead of the Herd, some of the articles and areas that you cover, and the best way for our listeners to follow more of your work.
Well, the website's aheadoftheherd.com. It's not your normal website. It's not your normal research. It's what I'm interested in. It's what I want to read about. It's what I want to learn about, and it's what I share for free.
Well, Rick, I love the diversity of articles that you do have on your site. So many fascinating topics that you delve into that definitely, spur my curiosity as well. And there are three articles in particular that we're going to link out to where this interview is located on Financial Sense that I want to refer all of you to. The first one is The Economic Implications of a Colossal Infrastructure Funding Deficit, Gold, Silver, and the Commodity Supercycle, and then the last being Copper, the Most Critical Metal. So those three will tie in very nicely to what we discussed today. So I definitely want to encourage all of you to read those three articles in particular, and of course, to visit aheadoftheherd.com for more excellent research. Rick, it was a pleasure speaking with you on our show today, and we definitely look forward to speaking with you on our show in the future.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.